starting with Perk
Vov Pasuk Aleph. Yosef Vov David is called Bachor Yisrael. Yisrael Shol Shemalot. David. David and Allah gathered all the young men in Bnei Yisrael. 30,000 altogether. Now the question is who exactly he gathered. The Pasuk shot is that he's gathering warriors, and that's the idea behind it. Chazal in the Gemara say that it refers to Torah scholars, that he gave them smicha, he gave them power to judge even criminal law over here, and he called them Rebbe and everything like that. Some say that there already were 30,000 warriors, and by Yosef Ode, he made another 30,000 warriors. Obviously, it goes with Talmidei Chachamim that had smicha as well. Some say that not only did he add on 30,000, but he added on 60,000. So that was a total of 90,000 altogether.
Where did they get that?
There were 30,000 originally, and then by Yosef he added on, and then Ode he added on another 30,000. So by Yosef 30,000, and he added on 30,000. So it's altogether 90,000 altogether. On this day, when he appointed 90,000 sages, the Yerushalmi says that Achitofel was not included among them. Okay, at that time, this is when the Kohanim were going to take the Aron Kodesh. Achitofel, right, said, Achitofel said, when David Melech asked him, how should I bring the Aron to Yerushalayim? Achitofel said, why didn't you send for the sages you just gave smicha to? Why asking me if you didn't give me smicha?
Why didn't he give Achitofel smicha?
Probably because Achitofel was not meant to be a Rebbe who was going to judge others, but rather he was supposed to be the advisor for David HaMelech. David HaMelech didn't feel like he needed smicha, so why should I give him smicha if he doesn't need it whatsoever? Either way, the king said to him, anybody who knows how to prevent this from happening but remain silent will be put to death. So Achitofel said, bring a sacrifice in front of Aron Kodesh, and it will stop. So we're going to see exactly what happens over here. Either way, it could be that this is after the Pelishtim, and it was 30,000 warriors, literally, who were going to fight against the Pelishtim. It says in Pasuk Beis, David HaMelech got up and he went. Right, they went from Bali Yehuda in order to bring up from there the Aron Elokim that was called there by the name of Shem Hashem Tzvakos Yoshev Akruvim Alav, and that was the name of this whatsoever. That Bali Yehuda is Kiryas Yaron, right? Yoshua, it says in Perek Tezvav, the boundary was drawn to Bala, which is Kiryas Yaron. So it's a same idea over here, right near Yehuda, and that's the idea of what it was supposed to be over here. The word shame was that God's name was exalted among all the other peoples. There's a question about what was exactly in this Aron Kodesh, meaning we don't know which Aron Kodesh this was. Remember, this is the Aron Kodesh that was taken by the Plishtim. Now it seems that it was the Aron Kodesh that was the real Aron Kodesh that had the Luchos, the second Luchos inside there. It could have been it was the original, the war Aron Kodesh that had the broken Luchos inside there. So it could be it's shame.
They weren't the same one?
Well, there is a Machlokas. There's another opinion that says that they both, the broken Luchos and the regular Luchos, were both put inside the same Aron. And that was the one that we're talking about over here. Lots to talk about over here. Either way, in Pasuk Gimel, by Yarkibos Aron Elokim Ala Gala Chadasha, they took the Aron of Hashem and they put it into a brand new wagon. By Zeumi, based on Avinadav Asher Begiva, they brought it or they carried it from the house of Avinadav that was by Giva. Geuza and Achyo, Bnei Avinadav, they were the brothers, the sons of Avinadav, Nohagim is Gala Chadasha. They led the new wagon over here. Now, what was this new wagon? This was the wagon that was brought by
the Plishtim.
They brought the Aron over there in the first place over here.
Why
did
they refer to it as a new wagon?
Now, we've got quite a bit. Well, it was a brand new wagon that had never been used before. It was only used for the Aron Kodesh. So we're saying that wagon still had not been used for anything else. It was only used for the Aron Kodesh and nothing whatsoever. There's a lot of explanations how David HaMelech could have messed up in this. Number one is the Gemara that says, because he called the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zmiros HaYulichu Kecha, your laws are like songs to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're calling my stuff, they're just songs? That's all they are to you? Forget it, you're going to mess up in something which is so simple even the school children know about it. And that was the mistake, that you've got to carry it on your shoulders instead of on a wagon itself. That's number one. Number two, he thought that it was only applied, meaning carrying it on the shoulders, when being transported from its regular place. Not when it was being brought from somewhere else entirely, like the house of Avinadav in Kiryas Yaron. It wouldn't apply. Exactly. That's number two. Number three, right? It could be that this was a different Aron Kodesh that had the fragments of the first Luchos, so he thought that it was mutter to be able to bring it onto a wagon. The regular Aron Kodesh, he never would would have put out a new wagon. But this one, he thought maybe could be. Number four, right? He said maybe the reason why they carried on their shoulders is because they wanted to be extra careful over here. Here, he thought it would be better for a Kiddush Hashem to be made for the Aron to be transported in a Plishti wagon. That would be the idea behind it. Either way, regardless, Achitofel rejected all of these reasonings, saying even school children know that it's not Mutter and you're not allowed to do such a thing. Could be that he only thought that Kahal had to carry it on their shoulders in the desert and were no longer in the desert. Could be. Okay, that's that. Those are our six answers altogether, our five answers altogether. That is that. There is an obligation for the Kohanim seemingly to carry it. Meaning, at the time, because there weren't that many Kohanim, the only Kohanim that were alive at the time of the Mishkan was Aaron, Nadav, Abihu, Elazar, Itamar. Therefore, the Kohanim, the Levim brought it, the Kahos, the Bnei Kahos. Could be that later on in time, the Kohanim had to carry it. And that's what happened by Yoshua when they crossed it over the Jordan River. The Kohanim carried over the Jordan River. Could be it's different, but regardless. And they carried it from the house of Nadav that was in Giva with the Aron Elokim, Achio, Holik Lepe Aron. And Achio stood in front of the Aron while Uzzah was in the back of the Aron. Now, what does it mean they carried it?
And it says the Aron later.
That's right. They transported the Argaz. Remember there was that little treasure box that had all the golden hemorrhoids and the golden rats that the Pelishim gave
them? Why is it referring to as it? Because it doesn't grammatically make sense of what, like, when you say it,
it's referring to the thing beforehand. I guess because people say Im Aron Elokim with the Aron of Hashem. On top of that Argaz, by the way, they did put the Sefer Torah. So it could be it's a reference to somebody else.
Why would they keep the Argaz? What's the, I feel like it's almost a idolatry.
I mean, it definitely was an idolatry because nobody worshipped it. And they meant it as a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. It could be that it also reminded people of the greatness of the Aron Kodesh and what it did when it was taken into enemy hands. So maybe that's why they put it over there. Either way, there were six of errors over here. Number one, they put it on a wagon instead of carrying it on their shoulders. Number two, they no longer gave it to the Levium because the Levium were denied an opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu by carrying it. Number three, Uzzah and Achio did not give the animals free rein. That's what the Pelishim did, right? They said, let the cows go wherever the cows want to go. They thought that they could guide them. That was a major mistake of them. Number four, they didn't use badim, in other words, staves, to be able to position the Aron on top of the wagon. They used their hands to carry the Aron Kodesh. Number five,
killed them.
I'm sorry?
Doesn't that kill you if you touch it?
He's about to die.
But I'm saying
No. Not when you directly touch it. Not yet. Achio walks in front of the wagon with his back toward the ark, right? The Pelishim wouldn't do that. The Pelishim walks only behind it all together. And number six, right? Their joy, with the joy of Bnei Yisrael when they saw the ark return, that was not accompanied with an appropriate measure of awe. They weren't in awe of it like they should have had. They didn't use the appropriate musical instruments. They chose whatever they wanted to, and that's what we're about to say.
What's
that was the problem.
Appropriate.
The ones that the Levium play in the base of Mikdash.
And how do we know that the Levium were not carrying this?
Because they were on the wagon. And then Uzzah and Achio were in front and in back. They were the ones going in front. Achio was in front and Uzzah was in back. The David and all Bnei Yisrael, they were playing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all these different types of cypress wood instruments. Ubikinors and with harps, Ubinavalim with guitars or lyres, the supis, drums, mananim and rattles, with tseltzalim and with cymbals. What are all these things over here? There's a lot of different ideas. Some say it's a musical instrument which seems to have been a prototype of the modern day keyboard.
Which one are you talking about?
The Rivian. Right? This is referred to the Mina'anim. Right? That's what it refers to over here. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff. Some say the cypress would refer to people juggling in front of the Aron Kodesh and stuff like that. Okay. David HaMelech danced in front of the Aron Kodesh because he wanted everybody to look at him instead of the Aron. Remember the first time that the Aron Kodesh was looked at by the people? 50,000 people died in Beit Shemesh. He said, I don't want them looking at the Aron Kodesh in the wrong way, so he danced. Right? Oh, I'm Gorin Nachon. They came to the place called Gorin Nachon. So Uzzah threw himself toward the Aron of Hashem, but Yochas Boni grabbed it because he thought he shumped to a bucker because the cattle had stopped suddenly and the Aron Kodesh started to fall. Now, the Aron Kodesh cannot fall. It remained hanging in the air what it was, but because he had touched it while thinking that it was going to fall, therefore he immediately died. God got very angry at Uzziah by Akeu Shomalokim, and God smote him there, Alashal, right there on, I guess, for his mistake. And he died there, right by the Aron of Hashem. Now, it could be that nobody saw him because they were all way behind the Aron Kodesh. They weren't dancing with the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh was way in front of them. Could they didn't see whatsoever, right, what was going on. Now, there's no question that Uzzah made a major, major problem. Okay? You cannot touch. He should have made a Kal v'chomer. The Kohanim and the Levim didn't touch the Aron Kodesh whatsoever, and certainly the Aron Kodesh had the ability to travel on its own. He shouldn't have done this whatsoever. Some say he was punished for wearing sandals while supporting the Aron Kodesh. He should have been barefoot. That's what he was supposed to do over here. He was also mistaken.
But he wasn't
mistaken. That everything needed to be guided, and exactly like that. What were you going to say?
But to say the sandals thing is kind of hard, because in theory he was not supposed to be touching it. Like, he was like, what he was supposed to be doing, sandals were appropriate for it.
Well, he should have realized that they should have copied exactly what the Levium did. And by doing anything different and thinking that he could touch the Aron Kodesh while being different, that was a problem.
And who is Uzzah exactly?
We don't know anything more than one of the sons of Abinadab. That's it. He was, apparently, he was a tremendous tzaddik. He was around there. Chazal do tell us that although he made a major mistake, he still merited Olam Haba. And that's the idea. And that's why it says he died there with the Aron Elohim, meaning he died together with the Aron Elohim. So that means that he was a special person altogether. But you know, whenever it says Rav Yechar Af, it means Avodah Zarah, according to Rambam. So it could be that he thought of things of Avodah Zarah over here, and that was a bad thing, right? And that could have been something that was extremely bad as well. The police were not punished, because how were they supposed to know what to do with this? They didn't know about the wagon. They had no idea what they were supposed to do. So that's the reason why it wasn't a problem whatsoever. That. Yeah, what were you going to say?
I don't know why I'm getting this impression, but... Oh no, never mind. I misread.
Okay, here, let's go to the next one. Pasukas by Yichalu David Asher Paras Hashem Paras Beuza. David was very upset that Hakadosh Baruch Hu had breached by killing Uzzah. By Yichalu Makamu Paras Uzzah Yomazeh. So he called the area Paras Uzzah. He realized this is a celebration. All of a sudden, they had to interrupt it by having Uzzah's death. Okay, so this is the idea over here. David was so angry at Hashem's judgment over here, he couldn't understand, right? What in the world could have happened? What in the world could have been,
so
you know, whatever.
Angry with Hashem, no.
Angry with Hashem. But then Chazal tells us that no, he really was angry at himself. He held himself responsible because he realized, why did he tell them to do this in the first place? He couldn't believe that he had messed up this badly and thus called Uzzah to die because of his own mistake by doing such a thing. Either way, regardless, we do say Peretz Uzzah. We say that it was Paratz Uzzah, that God severed down Uzzah. Now, to be killed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also, that's pretty good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kills you, it's maybe better than dying through the hands of the Malach HaMavis. So at least it's something over there. But either way, so that's the idea behind what's over here. Okay, Vayira David es Hashem Vayomar Mahu. David feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that day. Okay, Vayomar Ech Yavo Elai Aron Hashem. How can God's Aron come to me on this day when something so bad happened? The law of David, the Husser, he loved the Aron Hashem. He didn't want to bring the Aron of Hashem to him. Al Ir David to Ir David. Vayateu David Beis Obed Edom Agiti. So he brought it instead to the house of Obed Edom, who was a Giti. Now, Giti may have been that he was an actual non-Jew. Okay, let's see what it says over here. Now, why? On this day, where he was on the level of a spiritual devotion that was very, very high, he became angry. Now, he always served the Kashmir out of love and joy. That's what it was like throughout all of Tehillim. Right? That's the idea of kindness, compassion, rejoicing. But on that day, David HaMelech feared God. There was a Yira involved instead of Ava because of what he did to Uzzah. That's the idea itself. Then he decided that Obed Edom would be the person to go to. Now, who was Obed Edom? Obed Edom was a lady who lived in a city called Gas. That's where he lived, okay? Obed Edom is because, number one, Obed, he served God properly. Number two, he reddened David's face with embarrassment, and that's where it comes Edom, whatsoever. When David HaMelech said, I don't want the Aron to come to me, Obed Edom said, well, bring it to me. I'm sure everything will be okay. And that's that. Some say that Obed Edom was Ovadia, who was a convert from Edom. And thus it was Ovadia, right?
Ovadia,
who actually had that. Ovadia the Nevi, the one of the Treyasa. So that was actually him, and that's that.
Different Ovadia Nevi, right?
No, the only Ovadia Nevi that we know of is the one that's in Treyasa.
Okay.
And this is him, according to that explanation. He would have lived a long time if this was him. But anyway, regardless, he took it over there because he wanted to find an appropriate place for him to go, and that's that. It says in Pasuk Yudalev, Yeshav Aaron Hashem Beis Oved Edom Agiti Shlosh Chadashim. So the Aaron of Hashem stood by the house of Oved the Giti, Oved Edom the Giti Shlosh Chadashim for 3 months. Baruch Hashem Oved Edom is called Beiso, and God blessed him and everything there. Now, idea is that there was a place. This place was tranquil and appropriate for him. It was a place suited for holiness. That's the idea behind it. Okay, so that's that. Everything else is there. What else do we have over here? Anyone who honors, the reason why we mentioned Oved Edom's blessing over here is because anyone who honors the Aron of Hashem is rewarded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to Uzzah, who did not Aron the Aron of Hashem, and thought that he could put a hand to it. Here he says that there's different. Oved Edom was given a tremendous bracha. It says, David Lamor, Berach Hashem is based Oved Edom. God has blessed the house of Oved Edom as Kol Shalom and everything he owns, Babur Aron Lekim, because of the Aron of Hashem. David He brought out the Aron of Elkim from the house of Oved Edom with tremendous amounts of simcha over here. It's crazy altogether. It said that altogether, Oved Edom's house, he had 8 sons and many great grandchildren over here. This is what happened over here. There were 62 able men of strength, okay? That when the ark was with Oved Edom, every woman in the house gave birth to sextuplets, and all of them were boys. 6 boys times 8. Not bad, right? And that's the bracha that's there. I'm not so sure how big of a bracha that is. That's a little crazy. But I guess if you're rich, that's a lot over there. Plus another.
Also, you have to have a high tolerance for noise and.
Yeah, for everything else that's out there. I would 100% agree with that. But it is really, really crazy how much they had. And that's that. So that's that. When. Yeah, that's that. If for hosting the ark, which neither ate nor drank, Oved Edom was deserving of such great praise and blessing. While the most more so, if you host a Talmud Chacham in your house and you give him food and drink, look at that. Look at what you would get for something like that. Okay. Now, you got to know that he told that. So after he had heard that, he gathered all of his elders, the ministers, the Kohanim, and the Levim, and they went to go bring the Aron HaKodesh again, right, into Yerushalayim and try to make sure that it was going to the right place now. They went up with Simcha. They went up with tremendous Simcha because now they realized that it was going to be a good thing and they were going to do it in the correct way. Not just a scope, not just something that's whatever it is, but it's going to be Simcha, which is rooted in the soul. That was their concept, and that's what they wanted to do over here. That is that. There's a lot of stuff over here about Eruv Chaseros, right? But we don't have to worry about that, right? It says, all the apartments are considered common to all by an Eruv Chaseros, making it possible to carry objects from one apartment to another on Shabbos itself, right? Some see these principles also applying to David's moving the ark from the house of Oved Edom and taking it up to his own house in Yerushalayim. It was safeguarded and properly honored in Oved Edom's house, but it only come there under compelling circumstances. That time David felt himself undeserving of hosting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ark. Okay, it was there for just a short while, therefore wasn't established there. That's why David HaMelech was able to do what he did, in other words, give it to Oved Edom and then take it away as soon as the bracha was given there. Okay, so that's what you're allowed to do. Achitophel still rebuked him. He said, "You are such a fool, David HaMelech. How did you not know what was supposed to be done over here?" David HaMelech accepted Achitophel's reproof, learned from him, and bringing it over here was the Levium that carried the ark on their shoulders. It no longer was in a wagon, no longer carried by Kohanim, but rather carried by the Levium themselves. Every time the carriers of the Aron Hashem took 6 steps, they shafted a cow, an axe, and a fatling, like a big sheep. Every time they took 6 steps,
that is a major project
took
too.
A long, long time. I can't imagine what it is.
I can just imagine, like, everybody shows up at first, and then, like, after
3 hours,
everybody's just, like, you see, like, just 5 people left.
This was Hakaras that told the Levium that they were willing to say that look, we didn't die when we ended up having this. So this is the idea behind it. Why 6? for the six directions of the world to proclaim King, God, King over everywhere. Others say it's because the Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan, right? And that's the reason why it was that itself.
This is like usually like...
That's six. Six because up, down, northwest, you know, east, south.
But I would think some, like, for Akiva, like, they say four Amos. I kind of feel like it should...
I think they're being Meramis for this. I think that's what they were trying to do. That's what it sounds like. But David, Mecharkabakol Ozev Ne'ashem. David leaped about with all of his might in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. David Chagur, Ephod Bad. David was wearing a linen ephod. Over here, he was jumping up and he stood out from everyone in the crowd. And he was wearing a garment of distinction, an ephod, which was special in the honor of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted over here.
I thought it was kind of saying that was inappropriate because the ephod doesn't...
No, not an ephod of that itself. Meaning, even though he was wearing very special clothing and he was honored in this way, nonetheless, he jumped around like everything over here. No, that's that. He did not wear royal robes or something like that. He didn't want to exalt himself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he wanted everybody else to dance with him. He got everybody else to dance with him. The Davil Kol B'Yisrael, this is in Pasuk Tetzvah, Davil Kol B'Yisrael, Malam Es Aron HaShem B'Truah B'Kol Shofar. All of Israel, they brought up the Aron of HaShem with noises and with the call of the Shofar. V'Yar Aron HaShem Ba'ir, David came to hear David. Michal Ba'Shol, Nishkva Ba'ad HaChalon, she was looking out the window. That Terez HaMelech David Nefazdeh Zumachak Yod Ne'Hashem, and she saw the King David dancing and leaping in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vasif Yisrael B'Liba, and she despised it. You got to remember, Michal Ba'Shol is the daughter of Shaul HaMelech, who was a princely king and did everything in a very, very princely manner. Which started, she said, this is not the way a king acts. Which is exactly what she was going to call out David HaMelech on. And David HaMelech saw this. He sensed that she was deriding and ridiculing him in his heart. But it didn't care. He didn't deter. That didn't matter to him whatsoever. He kept doing exactly what he was doing. He did even greater enthusiasm and even greater energy in order to make sure it's there. And in order to, the reason why they had the shofar is to ward off the satan. I don't know what that means exactly, but they did it in order to make sure that the satan would not be able to undermine anything here. They brought the Aron of HaShem and they brought it into its place, the sofa oil inside the oil. Asher nothing will David that David had set up for it. David Olos with HaShem Shlomim. David then made Olos and Shlomim and brought all these korbanos over here, and he got ready all the watches. This is when he went made the mishmaros. The mishmaros were the guardians of Levium and Kohanim that served. Well, Mishmaros were the Kohanim. But the Levium and the Kohanim were set up in 24 different, well, at the time of David HaMelech, it was probably 8 different Mishmaros that everybody got to serve once every 8 weeks. That was the idea behind it. All of these things were there. The reason why they brought Olos is to give on top of the Mizbeach. The reason why they brought Shlomim is to be able to have a lot of food, to be able to give to all the people who had come over there. What song did they bring? There's a ton of songs over here that they had. Lots of the stuff from what's it called, from David HaMelech. It's mentioned, right, in Divrei Yamin, Parak, in Divrei Yamin Aleph, Parak Tes Zion. Okay, so they said that, and they called that Hodu Lashem Kitov Kilo Olam Chasto. They made sure that it was inside the same way there was in a Mishkan, right? Eventually, there was going to be a permanent roof, and that permanent roof was going to be the Beis HaMikdash. But he himself could not build a Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it was not there. After he brought all the Olos and Shlomim, he blessed the people, right, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Divrei Yamin, it mentions the bracha. It's in chapter 16 over there, and it goes through everything that he had said over there. Included, he went through all the punishment of Uzzah and the blessing of Ovid Adom to show that if you treat the Aron with respect, you'll get blessed like Ovid Adom, and if you don't, then you're going to die like Uzzah. And that's the idea behind it. This is the song that he ended up singing for them. He gave every single person there a lechem, you know, a little loaf of bread, eshbar echad, and then one thing, I think this is a big piece of meat, v'ashisha echad, and a jug of wine, and then everybody went home afterward. They all got that. Ish par, by the way, is echad mishisha b'par, a sixth of a cow. That's how much everybody got. That's a large amount of food.
A large amount of animals right now.
I guess so, because obviously what had happened over here. I asked David Levarach's
question,
though.
Why does it say the entire multitude of Israel, men and women alike? Like, I kind of feel like, why are they making such a... When you say all of Israel...
Meaning, because you think that if you're going to give every person, you give one for the family. No. every Jew that came got one of these things. We got one of these portions, like a little goodie bag, right on the way out. What do they call them? Favors, whatever it is. I actually double the verse is based on
Oprah.
Yeah, a little more. Here's a couple of the verses basically. Governor Malice.
Oprah gives out
back.
Cars, he's just giving out meat.
When he returned to bless his house, I think Nicol Bashol went out to greet David. I told him, Manich Bara Yo Melech Yisrael, how honorable are you today, O King of Israel? That you have revealed yourself today in front of the eyes of the maidservants of his servants. He goes, Nicol's Afar Rakim, like one, you know, a lowlife would go ahead and uncover himself and allow himself to be. Now, here again. After he'd been away, immediately after he'd gone away, he went back to go to his household and he went to say hello. That's a big thing also. You go home, you say hi to everybody that's there. He had a lot of wives. He went home and he went home to say every single person, but she was impatient. She greeted him immediately. She couldn't control himself and immediately said what she wanted to say in that day. Because she did this and she went out and she mocked David Melech, although the Musar could be taken. Maybe he should have been a little bit different. Maybe he should have done a little bit differently. But because she did it in this way, therefore she's going to be punished. Okay? It was a mockingly way of saying things, and therefore she was definitely punished.
What does she mean by he was? Was he actually exposing himself?
It could be that there was a little bit of a breach of tzniyus. It could be there was something that was going on. In other words, he was showing a bit of his skin, which shouldn't have done because he was dancing as much as he had done. Right? It's possible. That's the idea. You know, that's over here. I don't know. Maybe it would have been a little bit different. Either way, regardless, we don't know. In Zibra Yamin, it does not say what Michal said. It only says that she derided him in her heart because it's not honorable. And remember, Zibra Yamin is only for the Malchus. It's only written for the Malchus Beis Dovid to make Dovid look good.
It almost is mostly positive.
Exactly. Almost all positive, and that's that. Some say that Michal's intention was good, that she was trying to protect him from the same types of fates that had befallen her father. She knew that Shaul...
It sounds like she was saying... She wasn't like... I don't know. I kind of agree with that. Kind of sounds like she is trying to... She's not saying it necessarily, like, lovingly, dumbly,
no,
right? But she's, like, saying, I don't think what you did was right.
But nonetheless, she did it in a mocking way, and she did not do it in private. She did it in front of everybody else who were there, and that's the reason why it was a major problem. But Yomer David Michal, so David said to Michal in Kof Aleph, with Nashem in front of Hashem, Asher Bochar B, he chose Mimi Avicha from your dad, and Michal Bezron from all of his house, with Tavzazin Agiro Am Yisrael to command me to be the prince on all of Am Hashem Al Yisrael, v'sichakti with Nashem, therefore I have frolicked in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He didn't say I had simcha. Maybe I didn't do it in the best way possible. Nonetheless, I am celebrating the fact that I was chosen over everybody else there. He felt that this was an idea of Hakara Zato, to express gratitude for the kindness that a Kodesh Baruch Hu had shown him, and for putting him as a ruler over all of his people. That's the idea behind it, and that's what it was supposed to be over here. So that's the concept of this. Chazal teach us, right, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke, okay, we don't have to worry about this whatsoever. So he said that the Arum will now, from now on, it will be hidden away and that nobody's going to see it ever again. We revealed it to people, but no longer is that going to be. Maybe Michal is also complaining that the Aron should have been brought in a different type of way. It shouldn't have been brought in this way. Maybe it should be brought in a way where there would be some type of royalty, something different. Who knows what's going to be over here. Doesn't matter. He did what he thought was 100% right. Okay. That's that. Now, it says, Menachalosi owed Mizos. I would shame myself even more than this. So you see, I would be lowly in my own eyes. With the handmaids that you speak of, the other handmaids out there, I'll be honored through them. And now David HaMelech had said something very, very terrible over here, which was a curse almost to Michal, right? That I am willing to go to anybody else. And now Michal, although you had a chance to have a son that was going to be the king over Klal Yisrael, no longer is it going to be from you. It's now going to be from somebody else, from Bathsheba, because you had just done this over to Klal Yisrael.
That's interesting the way he said, he's basically saying you're as lowly as the maidservant, and then Bathsheba necessarily wasn't, like, gotten in the most
Yashar
way. So he's kind of saying, like, you have the Yichus to you've got everything with you is very legitimate, and he's saying, you're now with the maidservants. I'm taking another...
Interesting little call. I don't know. The rap of the Chazal say that a king cannot forego the honor due to him. Right? When we say that a king cannot be mokel on his own kavod, that's only by Malchi Yisrael. But Malchi Beis David, in order to honor God, they may forego the honor due to them. And that's the idea behind it. That's what Davidoff was saying. Your house, by Binyamin, ain't Echanami. When you're king, it's Malchus Yisrael, then they have honor that they can't get over on. But me, I have the ability to do this, and there's no question about it whatsoever. And that's that, what he's going to say over here. He also said that you just knocked down all the other girls of Klal Yisrael, and you said they're just Amahos, they're just maidservants. Well, you're like the Iker woman. He said, halavai, that my place in Olam Haba would be in the same of those women, right, who is on that level. I mean, that's the idea behind it of what was going on. That is that. What else goes on over here? There we go. Okay, that's that. There was none in Israel who humiliated himself over the mitzvos as much as David HaMelech. And David HaMelech praised himself over that he was willing to do anything in order to do mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She never had a child. She went childless until the day of her death. Because of that, right?
From that point on, she went childless.
Yeah, because every other woman was able to give birth to sextuplets once the Aron Hashem came into this area. Nonetheless, Michal, who was angered by all this, she was childless until the very, very end. Some say that Michal was not childless. Instead, she died early, right? And her children were given over to others to raise. Others say the next time she gave birth to a child, she died in childbirth. There's a lot of stuff that are mentioned over here and what happened.
Is this last time we hear
some
of her?
Say that Michal herself only raised the children of Merab and that she herself didn't have anything whatsoever. Not the last time we mention her. However, it is the last. We don't mention any specific children that Michal had, except what we're going to say over here, right, when we get into Harik Kuf Aleph, which we'll see later on. Right, there's going to be a lot of stuff and stuff like this.
Michal again appearing.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the same way that a person, a tzaddik, has the ability to bring about barrenness, like David Malik did over here, so too you can also give a bracha that you can make a person have children. So certain Talmid Chacham have the ability to do such a thing, and that's the idea behind it. What else? Michal was known for a great virtue. Some Chazal tell us that Michal wore tefillin. Shlomo Melech praised her and said, I don't know what this is. It's a line in Anim's Miras. I don't know. It's Bala by the Shar, where he sits with the elders of the land. I don't know. I'd have to see which one it is. And they remember that Michal did save David HaMelech's life, right, from her father's messengers, right? And that's that. She was a valorous woman. She helped whatsoever. And we all said before that David HaMelech loved Michal more than he loved any other wife, right? So that does show you how much he loved Michal Bashol, and that he asked for him. Okay. By the way, that's the idea behind it. Yeah.
So what does that mean that she worked tefillin? I'm just curious to know, like, what made her...
Certain women have the ability to, when they, you know, they become experts in everything else, and they can do more than that, and they can put it on. Michal was on the level that she was able to wear tefillin, right? But you first have to be on the level where other people are masking that you should put on tefillin and not decide to do it on your own. I mean, a woman can't get up and say to herself, now I'm wearing tefillin. You're a nobody. You're a piece of garbage. You can't do that. But if Michal was told by Shaul HaMelech to put on tefillin, then that meant something. She probably did it in private. She didn't daven in front of a minion. She didn't lane. She didn't do anything like that.
The wall?
Oh, no, no. She ain't no woman of the wall, that I can definitely tell you. That's the idea behind it. Yeah.
I think Rabina told us that Orchaim's wives were tefillin.
That's possible. There was more than one? I guess that was.
Yeah, two.
Orchaim is a crazy little man.
And both did not have any children.
Orchaim and Akadosh. Really? Neither one of them had children.
That's why he married the second one, and...
And even then, he wasn't able to have kids.
I'm pretty... I hope I'm not misquoting. No. No Orchaim.
Okay, let's do a little bit more over here, and it says the following. Vayik Yosham HaMelech Bebezo, when the king was sitting in his house, Parag Zayin Pasagal of Hashem, Yiniach Lomitzavim Kolevav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him rest from all of his enemies all around, okay? So that's that. So, he had a problem, David HaMelech. He felt like something was wrong. He was sitting in his palace, but the aron was not in the proper way.
Where did he put the aron then?
Right now, it was in like a house, but it wasn't like a permanent place. He wanted to put it, instead of just a base of medrash, he wanted to be in a base of mikdash. He realized that the base of mikdash had to be here, so he decided, it's time for me to go. It's time for me to go and to make something, and he wanted to do something over here. That's the idea behind it, okay? So Shmuel gave him a scroll in which the design of Hashem's house of the Beis Hamikdash was depicted in great detail. Okay, so now that he's sitting there, he realized it's time to take that out and to make the Beis Hamikdash and to allow that to happen. I think he wanted the Aron HaKodesh in as soon as he possibly could. So he did that before building up the Beis Hamikdash. But that's that. He was willing to do that more than anything else. What's up?
I think I remember hearing that David made the design for the Beis Hamikdash when he was running away from Shaul.
Well, yeah, that's when he met Shmuel and Avi, and Shmuel and Avi gave him a little star that had everything on it, and that's the idea behind it.
Okay.
Unfortunately, this whole story starts with the word Vayihi. The reason why is because of grief, because David Melech was not going to be able to do so.
Wait, how do you think Vayihi a good thing? If it's Vayihi, what?
Vayihi can be. Vayihi may is a terrible thing. Vayihi can be good, can be bad. He said to Navi, listen, I'm sitting in a house of cedarwood, and the Aron is just inside curtains and stuff like that, right? And this is crazy. Why in the world am I there? Now, in order to add on to any area of Yerushalayim, you have to go to the Sanhedrin in order to get there. Nasan Anavi was the head of the Sanhedrin. He wanted to know whether or not, you know, Nevuah would say this. He really didn't have to, but he wanted to find out, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? This is the way that David HaMelech was. He never did anything on his own without asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what he asked over here. Anything that you think you should do, go ahead and do. Ki Hashem Imach, right? Because Hashem is together with you. That's the idea behind it. No, Nasan and Avi said, listen, David HaMelech, you have this plan. You have Ruach HaKodesh. It makes sense that this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this inspiration to go ahead and build the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, although Nasan had never seen anything otherwise, he said it must be that this is the right thing to do over here.
It wasn't like something that seemed like it should be argued with.
Especially because he brought up the Aron, he did everything he was supposed to do. Couldn't be. Only later that night did he realize that something is, you know, something is wrong and that something is right.
Is that wrong of Nasan to say this?
No, because he still said it within there. But he by Lailahu, but it wasn't that night. But he devar Hashem Nasan Lamor. The word of God came over to Nasan and Avi saying, right now there is something wrong, right? Because Nasan and Avi was told immediately by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you got to go quick, because David HaMelech may have already started building the base. Because that's how quick he is. When he wants to do something, he'll do it, and he's not going to sleep. So he told Nasan and Avi, hurry up and tell him right now, because it's going to be a real problem. He also may have already made a neder that he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash, because that's like David HaMelech to do. You got to make sure he will not eat nor drink until he builds up the Beis HaMikdash. You got to tell him right now that he is not the one who is going to say it. Okay, that's the idea behind it, because normally HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not go this type of urgency. On that night he spoke to him sort of a rebuke for going ahead and answering David without waiting for an answer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we just said it wasn't such a bad thing that Nasan and Avi did it, but there's an opinion that says that Nasan and Avi did do, he shouldn't have heard, he shouldn't have said this.
That the only reason why it would be considered a problem is because David could make his own decision on that. The reason why he was going to Nasan was specifically for Hashem's ruling.
For everything else, right?
Like it, that's what.
Yeah, makes sense. Lech b'amato avdiel David, go say to my servant to David, Kol Hashem atatignuli vayis l'shifti, will you build the house for me to live in? So that's the idea behind it. You might have thought so, but David HaMelech, you're not going to be able to build me a house. Shlomo HaMelech will, but the problem is that you have shed blood. You have waged great wars. Such a person cannot build a Beis HaMikdash, which is supposed to be a place of shalom. The only person who can is a person who's made of shalom, a person like Shlomo HaMelech. He's the one that's going to be able to do such a thing, but nobody else is going to be able to do such a thing. Okay, and that's that. Alright, we'll go on and we'll say other things. The famous line over here is that David HaMelech could not build the Beis HaMikdash because if he did, it would never be destroyed. And we needed this Beis HaMikdash to eventually be destroyed so that God takes out his wrath on the Beis HaMikdash rather than on the people themselves. We'll stop with that. Okay.